Sermon 18. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 20. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous, and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Beloved saints, today through the word of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we are going to deeply examine what kind of being a saved saint is and why their life must change. This word is not simply an ethical lesson, but a word that clearly shows the identity and direction of life, of one who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. First, Paul points out the problem that existed within the Corinthian church. There were cases where saints sued one another and even went to secular courts. Paul strongly rebukes this, because saints are not simply worldly people, but those who will judge the world in the future. A person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit must know his identity. We are no longer beings under sin, but those who have been justified in Jesus Christ. But why do saints quarrel with each other like worldly people and try to seek judgment from the outside? The reason is that they only knew the gospel of the water and the Spirit with their heads and could not actually accept it with conviction in their hearts. A person who wholly believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit does not try to solve his problems in worldly ways, because the standard of his life is already in God. Paul goes further and says this: "Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated?" This word is a difficult word to accept humanly. However, it is a possible attitude for a person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Because our righteousness is not something we protect, but something Jesus has already accomplished for us. Following this, Paul makes a very important declaration. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" And he lists various sins such as sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, and greed. This is not simply listing a catalog of sins, but showing what the state of being under sin is. But here the most important word follows: "And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." This word accurately reveals the core of the gospel. The word "were" means the past. That is, previously you were under sin, but now you are not. How did this become possible? It was not done by our effort. It is because Jesus shouldered all our sins by receiving baptism from John and was judged on the cross with those sins. And by resurrecting, he completed that salvation. This is exactly the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Therefore, Paul says, "You were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified." This does not mean something that is gradually achieved, but an already completed state. He who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is no longer a sinner, but one whose sins are already washed away, a holy one and a righteous one. For this reason, Paul subsequently deals with the issue of life. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." If one does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit, one will misunderstand this word. However, a person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit does not use freedom as self-indulgence, because he is a person who has already been set free from sin. Also, Paul speaks about the body. "Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." This is a very important word. Our body is not simply flesh, but belongs to the Lord. Because Jesus vicariously shouldered our sins through the baptism he received from John and bought us with a price. So Paul speaks strongly. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" The Holy Spirit is not one who dwells just anywhere. He dwells in the one whose sins are resolved, that is, the one who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Lastly, Paul concludes like this: "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." This is the conclusion of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We are no longer our own. Because Jesus took charge of our sins through the baptism he received from John and paid that price on the cross, we are the Lord's. Beloved saints, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 speaks to us clearly. Who are you? If we still remain in the consciousness of being sinners, our lives have no choice but to remain in continuously fighting against sin. However, a person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is different. He lives as one who has already been justified. For this reason, his life is not changed by force, but naturally becomes different. It is no longer a life dragged around by sin, but becomes a life lived as one belonging to God. Does condemnation for sin perhaps still remain in your hearts? If so, you must return again to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Through the baptism Jesus received from John, he already shouldered all your sins and was completely judged for those sins on the cross. And he completed that salvation with his resurrection. He who believes in this gospel of the water and the Spirit is no longer a sinner, but a righteous person. Now we must live upon that identity. We must live a life that glorifies God with our bodies and with our lives. I pray in the name of the Lord that this gospel of the water and the Spirit firmly takes root in your spirits, so that you may come to live in an identity and freedom that is no longer shaken.